When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to yet again another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. As ever, I'm your host, Budge, joined by my faithful two co-conspirators, Dot and Dej. Boys, how we doing, man?
I'm good, Budge, man. It's always good to have a young rising star on the platform, man.
100%. Live and direct in the studio as well, man.
Yeah, man.
How are you, Dej? How you doing, bro?
I'm good. First professional footballer on the platform. You know, this is someone that we've been tracking, watching. So it's going to be good to conversate and, you know, find out much more about him because he's burst onto the scene. Not much has been said, so like we're going to get to know him today. So I'm looking 100%. Forward to it.
You know what, Dej? You took the words right out of my mouth because we saw this young player burst on the scene this season, right? And I remember the first game I saw him chase someone down and I said, who is this guy? And it's funny because I was reading an interview that his manager was having, and he was like, oh yeah, he's a player that likes to hunt. Yeah. And I was like, rah, okay, there's some accolades there, you know what I mean? He's like, watch out for this guy, he's gonna be one that's gonna have a very telling contribution in the first team, and I think we're gonna see that in seasons to come. But of course, we need to introduce him. We need to make sure we get into this one nice and early. So, you know, like Dej said, we've seen him burst on a scene. We've seen him blistering pace, dropping shoulders, beating players left, right and centre. And also scoring in the Premier League as well, man. We're going to talk to him about that as well. But ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we welcome Nathan Teller of Southampton to the Beautiful Game Podcast. Jeez,
welcome, guys. I'm happy to be here, man.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it. Look, we obviously know that, you know, you're a busy guy. Even in the off season, you've got loads of different things that you're doing, seeing family, friends, and so on and so forth. So taking out the time to come and chat to us, bro, we appreciate it, man.
I'm thankful that you even reached out to me. It's
a pleasure, man. We reached out to you and you were very, very accommodating, man. And big up to you for coming on, bro.
100%. All right, let's get this started then. Dot, Dej wants to kick off.
Yeah, so like, what have you been up to? Season's ended. So like, how have you been? What have you been doing to recuperate after a long, hard season? You know, players were playing every 3 days. So what have you been up to?
Since I've been off, I've just spent time with my family and friends. Like, the season, like, it's been a weird season, obviously, because it's been like lockdown and everything. But I've just had time to go home. Like, this is the longest I've been home since last year, so I got to see my family and friends, go out with them, just do some stuff, just like catch up. But nah, it's been good. And lately I've been doing like all my fitness stuff, just trying to get back fit, trying to get ready for the season so that I can just hit the ground running and pick up where I left off.
Do you know a question I wanted to ask you, Nathan, yeah, is that obviously now it's off season and whatnot, and naturally when you go back next season, obviously you have pre-season, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
One question, like one thing that I've always wanted to know is like, do you have a limit that you're allowed to go back to, like in terms of your weight? Like, because let's be honest, yeah, you've been away from your family for the whole season. Yeah, we know how African parents are in particular. Your mum, my son, like, he's come back home. She wants to cook for you every day. So if you're not careful,
that pound of yam will be ready on the day you return.
So if you're not careful, you can really put on some pounds. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, do you have to operate within a certain limit? Like, do you even in the off season, do you have to like train a certain amount and whatnot and that kind of thing?
You know, it is like they give us like a plan to like. Obviously for like gym, like running, football stuff, and obviously nutrition plan. And I think like the first few weeks is like low carbs. So I send it to my mum, and as much as she wants to cook for me, she's like, you gotta follow this, like don't overkill me. But nah, she's been good. My mum, my dad have all been good helping me, like getting me the stuff I need to eat and cooking myself. So it's been good. Like, I feel like I'm gonna go back into good shape anyway. Like I feel fit now. I feel like I'm in good shape anyway, so it's good.
So take us back to the very beginning. I know you started off at Arsenal, correct me if I'm wrong. I've spoken to a few people in the game and they've said this boy, one thing that he's always had is the mentality to be as good as he can be. So take me back to the beginning. How did you start off?
So I'm from Stevenage, so like, I've just literally like grown up there like practically all my life, and I never really was interested in football. Like it was something I would just watch, and obviously in school everyone would just play it, so it was like something I could just do. And then one of my friends, like my good friends, I'm still friends with him now, he was at a local team, Bedwell Rangers, and he was just there, like he was just playing, like having fun, and obviously at that age you just want to have fun, innit? So I was just there. He said I should just come down to one session, and I just went, and obviously I enjoyed it, and it was a thing that my parents would just take me there, like just for me to release energy, because like
running around the house
and then obviously I just was there, like at that age, like I said earlier, I was just playing for fun. Like it was literally just all fun, like I'm playing with my friends, playing football, starting to get good at it. So but obviously I don't see it as that, just it's fun. And then just kept playing, and then scouts started to approach my dad, like just so I had trials at Luton when I was younger, Watford, Chelsea and Tottenham, and then Arsenal came last, and the scout who scouted me I'm still like quite close with now, like
that's dope, man.
There, because he lives like 5 minutes from my house, so we've just been there like talking and like up to now anyway. But then he approached my dad and was like, oh, like we like the look of your boy, want to get him down to Arsenal. And obviously I went there, trialed, and again it was just a trial, like I just sort of as having fun. I supported Arsenal, but it's just for fun. And then it got to the time when they were going to offer me a contract at like 8 years old, and it was them or Watford. And initially I was going to choose Watford because like, I just it was close to home and I had fun there. And Arsenal, I didn't really realise like how big Arsenal was at that age. And then my dad just sat me down.
Them African dads, Arsenal, Canu, like, and that.
Like,
yeah,
he's like, Arsenal, like this is like, look how big they are. Look at all the players. Like you got Thierry Henry, who I like looked up to. Theo Walcott, who I looked up to. He was like, why can't you go and be one of them at the club you support? And that sort of just like swayed it for me, and I was like, gonna sign for Arsenal. And then signed at under nines, was there up until under 18s, and obviously I wasn't offered a contract, which was disappointing. But then at the same time, I wasn't my fittest as well, because I just had an injury. So I came back from my injury, and then it was sort of like I was fighting to just get back into the team. And it was kind of a losing battle, because obviously players had that whole pre-season ahead of me and they were already fit. And then had that disappointment when they said, obviously we're not going to offer you a contract. Then went on trial to Reading, like, first of all, did a 2-week trial. And it was a weird one, because like I didn't really.
So Nathan, like, if I'm just gonna stop you, like if we can go back to the Arsenal time, because I think it's important for youngsters to hear this, because everyone sees you right now playing in the Premier League, match of the day, think, yeah, he's made it. But to get to this stage, you've had to go through things, you know, that rejection, and it's something Eberechi Eze spoke about on the platform as well.
Yeah.
You know, being released, having your confidence knocked. So how was that moment when you were released? Were you down in the dumps? Were your friends rallying around you? How did you find that sort of temerity to get back to the top level?
Because like we all sort of knew that like, it was decision time. Like they always tell you around like January, February time, like if we're gonna offer you a contract or not. And I can't remember if I was one of the last ones in the team, but I went into the meeting and I was like 50-50. I was like, oh, like maybe because I've been here for a while, they'll just use that as maybe give him a chance. But then at the same time, it's like I've not really done anything this season. I've hardly played. I'm not really showing myself. And then obviously once they said that I wasn't being offered, it was just hard. I cried because that's where I was from like 9 till 17, 18. So that's like all I knew. And it was just like a tough period of time because it was like my whole world was like Arsenal. Everyone knew me as Arsenal. I was even thinking, not even just myself, I was thinking for like my family, my friends, like, oh, got a friend or I got a son who's at Arsenal, and then they're gonna have to go and tell their people, and they're like, oh, it's not at Arsenal anymore. Like, I was just thinking more of them as well, so that kind of hurt me as well. And then that was just so I had to like pick myself up. Like, I spoke to my mum, my dad, to my friends, they all just assured me like, oh, like regardless of that, like, if you weren't good, you wouldn't have been at Arsenal for this long. And that was all sort of the confidence I needed, like regardless of what they said, I knew and they knew that I was still a good player, and I was just thankful that I was able to get to another club, go on trials, and they were able to see it as well.
100%, man. Do you know what I wanted to ask you, Nath, was like, in terms of your parents, would you say that they're more modern in their thinking, right? Because like you're saying that from young your parents were heavily involved, your dad was heavily involved and advising you and whatnot, but we know typically, read your book. It's always education. You must go to school. You must learn your books. You must do your thing.
Yeah.
So, like, how was that? Like, particularly with like GCSEs and stuff like that. Were they very much like you're going to do this, but you need to make sure you do this as well? Like, what was that dynamic?
For me, like, obviously when I was growing up, I didn't hear any of that noise the parents, like my parents were getting from like, because obviously like we went to church. Like, it's always in church. People always have stuff to say. why is he not in church, why is he missing Sundays?
That is real, you know,
because my dad had to take me, so he was missing services as well, so okay. They were like, oh, like you're doing this for your son, blah blah blah, and he was just like, oh, like he was like, it will pay off in the long run. And obviously my mom knew as well, like regardless of my dad not doing that, she'd be able to do it for me. My dad was like, all right, it's fine, like I'll go take him. So they, I wouldn't say they were like typical AF parents, but then at the same time it was like when I had to focus on school, like they were like, if you're gonna be good at football, if you're gonna play and this is what you want, regardless of the future, you need to have something to fall back on, regardless of whether you make it or not.
So how did you manage that? Because I've spoken to young players and they're saying, oh, my parents, they want me to go to school, they don't want me to play football at all until I finish my school. So how did you manage that dynamic?
I think I just had to like work hard in school, and well, I didn't really work hard in school. But I just got to play the game with them. Like, I was like, oh, like, I'll just come home, do my homework, that will be fine. But then when I'm in school, I say I'm listening and focusing, like I'll take it in, but like I'll still be a bit like disruptive, not focusing, because I knew that I knew that like, I was always going to be a footballer.
That's so, when did you know that though? Because you told us from a very young age you were playing for the fun of it. Probably, so when did you get that realization that, you know what, I've got something
like,
here?
Probably like under 14s, because like that's when like you start to see like, oh, people getting scholars, people getting professional contracts, and obviously Arsenal were always like pushing players up, trying to give people chances. And like if you look at Jack Wilshere, like he was young when he was playing, and then when I got to like 14, I was thinking, well, we all probably started thinking like, oh, like, why can't me be the next ones to do it? And that's when it sort of hit me. It's like, oh, like I'm at Arsenal. Like I'm, this is, like, I can watch Premier League games. Like I see these players, or you go and train, you get like best, one of the best training grounds, all of that, best coaching. So I was just like, why should I not focus on it now? That's when it sort of like everything just clicked, and I was like, yeah, like this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be, sort of thing.
And through like all the years of your development up until this point in time, have you always been a winger / wide forward, or has your position changed as you've grown and developed and so on and so forth? Like, where do you start off as that, or?
Nah, it was weird. Like, I feel like the first thing I can remember me playing football was just being a defender, like a centre-back. And it was weird because like, everyone's the same height. No one really wanted to head the ball, so it was all on the floor. And then, I don't know, just like one session, I just ran, like, with the ball, and like, I was just that much faster than everyone. And they're like, oh, this is something we can work on. This is like 7 years old and I was playing Sunday League. Then they were like, oh, like, let's try as a striker. Then I just started scoring and scoring, just because regardless of doing any skills, I'll just kick it and run, put it into the box or shoot. And then obviously started off as a striker, went to Arsenal as a striker. Then I moved to when we started playing 11 aside, I moved to right wing, left wing. Then there was a period of time I was playing like fullback. So I played right back about under, like, most of my under 15 season.
Okay.
And a bit of under 16s. And then when I was a scholar, obviously I played across the front, right, left. And then they also played me right back and left back. Like, there was a tournament we went to. I played left back the whole tournament. And usually, like, I knew I was an attacker, but I was like, if I've got other players younger than me who are perhaps better than me at their position, it's like, just think of the team. Like, and we won the tournament as well. And I felt like I played well at left back. And yeah, that was a surprise because I can't take throw-ins. But nah, like, I think it's all helped me up to now. Like, it just helps how I think and, like, when I'm on the ball, even like when I'm trying to get into positions to help my teammates, it's just like a quick little thought back to, like, yeah, like if I was a left back, I need my wide player here, I need my striker to be here. So yeah, it helps.
And now, do you have a favoured position, or are you comfy anywhere in that front three? You can do your thing.
I just want to be on the pitch. Like,
I hear that.
I'm not gonna be one of the players who's like, I can only play one position, or this is my favourite position. I just want to play where the team see I can play and be most effective. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, like, play me as a striker when I can play right, I can play left, I've played 10. If I needed to do a job at fullback, I could. I wouldn't want to, but it's all good. Like, I don't really mind where I play, to be honest.
So in between that period of when you left Arsenal and signed for Southampton, like, I understand that you went for some trials with some clubs. So how was that experience?
It was weird because obviously, like, just know Arsenal, so like, you know all the boys, like, we'd grown up together from like 9 to like 17, 18. And obviously when I was told, I knew I was going to have to start looking at clubs and trying to go on trials at places. So initially the first place I went to was Reading, and I was there for like 2 weeks. It was like a 2 week trial period, and the first week I felt like it was good, like I was doing well, etc. like, coaches were giving me good feedback, my agent was telling me like they're liking you. And then I don't know, the second week it just sort of, like, all went backwards. Like, I just sort of went back into my shell. Like, I wasn't confident, I wasn't showing the confidence I was showing in the first week. So I was a bit like, oh, like, I knew it myself. Like, I felt towards like the end of the week, I was like, I'm not gonna get offered here. And it was like, I kind of was used to that, not rejection, but like being told. So I kind of knew how to take it. So then at the end of that week, they were like, oh, like, we're not gonna offer you. And I was like, oh, okay, like, all right, back to square one, like, go looking around. And that was on a Friday, they told me. And then I went home Saturday, obviously told my family, my friends, like, oh, I'm not going to go Reading. Like, they just weren't interested in me. Then Sunday, I was in church.
Did they give you that special prayer?
That offering bag.
my phone just kept buzzing and buzzing and buzzing. And then anyway, like, the service finished, went outside. My agent was like, oh, we've got you a trial at Norwich, but it's going to be for Monday, so you sort of got to go tonight. So it was like, all right, cool. Told my parents, like, we got to all go to Norwich, pack my stuff, pack my boots, etc. I went to Norwich. Then I was there for like a week, and that was a good week. Like, I felt like that's when I sort of found myself again. Like, I was playing good football. The team helped me a lot, and I knew a few of the players who was there anyway. So that helped me a lot. I just felt comfortable going into there straight away. And then at the end of the week, we played against Reading, which was like a weird one. And then I scored.
Hey, that's the best thing ever.
Like, I celebrated. I was thinking, why am I celebrating? Like, it's not my team. Like, they could just say, oh, we don't want you, and it's like a waste of a celebration.
Yeah.
But I was like, nah, like, obviously they said no, like, we don't want you. And then I've gone and played and scored against them. So that was happy. I was like, happy. It was like a relief for me. So a moment, like, I told you so. Sort of thing. And then obviously played that game. And then I went back to Arsenal just to, like, just do fitness, because I hadn't heard anything back from anyone. So I went back to Arsenal for a couple of days, and then I think it was a Wednesday morning, my dad called me and was like, oh, you're going to go to Southampton today? Because they got a game. Tuesday, like, you're going to go to Southampton today, train on Tuesday, play on Wednesday. So I was like, all right, cool. So he picked me up from my digs, drove down the M25, M3, got to Southampton, just walked in, and I was just like, wow. Like, I didn't know, because obviously they weren't as like an Arsenal.
Yeah.
But their training ground was crazy. Like, my first thought was like, wow, this place is a joke. And then went in, obviously trained, met the boys, did a session with them, went back to the hotel, went the next day, played the game against Brighton, played quite well. And then, like, they were like, oh, we want you to come back again for another trial match. I think it was at the weekend, it was against Brighton again. So I went home, I don't know why, we went home back on a Friday, came back on a Friday, literally did the same thing, trained, went in on a Friday, then woke up in the morning Saturday, went, played the game against Brighton again, played well. I think I even played better that game. And then after that game, I think it was the head of recruitment or the head of something, who like makes the decisions. He was like, after the game, like go to come up to the top of the, where the offices are, and that's like a long walk. So like, I was in my head, I was already thinking the worst.
Yeah,
I was
things,
like,
yeah.
Oh, like, oh, I don't want to hear this again. Mm. Like, I know you've got other players who are here, and I don't know, like, I just don't want to hear the rejection again. Mm. Then went up, he just asked me like, how you finding it? I was like, I like it. Like, obviously the two games, the two training sessions I've done, I've enjoyed it and I've liked it here. Then he was like, yeah, we like the look of you, like we want to offer you a contract, a two year pro. So it was like, I was just happy, I was like thankful. And, like, mm. told my dad was there, then told my mum in the car, and like, just that AFS group.
Yeah. Did they go and give testimony in church on Sunday after that?
we were quite good at that point. We just told everyone to like keep it quiet.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Obviously, everyone knew I was at Arsenal. They didn't need to know that. Oh, like he went Reading. He went Norwich. He's gone Southampton.
Mm.
Like, we were just like, when we've got something concrete on the table and he signed it, then we'll tell him.
Mm.
And then obviously I signed in like March, and obviously it got announced on like their Twitter page then. I was like 2017, and then obviously like everyone was like, oh, like well done, blah blah blah. Mm. And in my head I was like, yeah, like I'm happy, like I've got somewhere I can just settle down and work and play. And then yeah, towards the end of that season, just played 23s a bit, played 18s, and yeah, ended the season well. Like, I'll say like from how it started that year to May, being released, not being told I'm good enough at Reading, not hearing anything back from Norwich, and then signing for Southampton, I was like, yeah, like the season couldn't really have gone any better, to be honest. So yeah.
So what did you have to do to take that next step? Because we see so many players that play youth football under 23s, but how do you take that next step to break into the first team?
You know, I got injured. That's what I think helped me the most, if anything. Like I tore my ACL
yeah.
when I was in 2019. Mm. I was playing really good football at that time. Like I felt like I was playing well, like I felt confident, etc. And then obviously I tore my ACL, and like everything just came crashing down. Like I didn't think I was gonna play again.
Mm.
Like everything, all the negative thoughts about the injury was just coming into my head. Then once obviously like I started doing all my rehab, I was just like, I need to change my mindset, how I think about everything. Like can't just.
So did the club help you in that aspect?
Yeah, they were really good with that. They were like, they did like their rehab stuff. They were just like, obviously they're always talking to me. They had a psychologist who was just always giving me like confidence and giving me just feedback about how like my rehab was going. Like I've still got a good relationship with her now, so she helped me a lot. And then obviously once I got back onto the pitch, the mental side, once I just overcame that barrier of I'm not gonna do it again, or I'm not gonna hurt myself again by doing the same movement which got me injured, it was like now I can just focus and do the game and like just play and get back and hopefully get into the team.
Yeah, so how big has Roddy Jardy been in your development as well? Because he's someone that you know, a towering centre back. Yeah. And you seem to have a great relationship with him in the under-23s. Like, he utilises you up front, wing back. You've played in many different positions.
Yeah, he's been good. He helped me a lot. Like, obviously, he's aff as well. Like, yeah. So, like, as much as we wanted to take him seriously, there was times I would just, like, smile, like, laugh at myself because, like, he mispronounced something. Nah, he was good. Like, he really, like, helped me. Like, there was a time when I was just, like, I wasn't happy, like, with football. Like, I wasn't playing 23s. Like, I wasn't in the squads. I was on the bench, wasn't coming on. And like I just said to him, like, what do I need to do? Like, I'm gonna be real. Like, what do I need to do? Like, if I'm not playing and I want to play, and if I feel like people in my position aren't impacting the game, say I would, what do I need to do so I can take their place? Then he just literally sat me down and said, you need to do like, three things. And I just did it. Like, I just tried.
What were those three things, if you don't mind me asking?
It was more like just working hard. Like, as much as I say, like, I work hard now, there was a point where like I would run forward and I just wouldn't track back. Then he was like, end product, like, definitely end product. And then he's just like, just have a bit more like to your game. Like, I was quite one-dimensional at that time. So he was like, just try, like, I don't care if you make a mistake in training, you could give the ball away like 20 times in training. As long as you're trying something new in the right areas, do it. And then did those three things and it worked. And that's when I got back into the team and started playing, and then picked up the injury, which set me back, but came back and I was still doing the same things, and it helped me a lot.
That's dope though, like the fact that like your perspective changing, the way that you see it is a very like positive thing, like, because we've seen so many players get ACL injuries and they're never the same again. Like they lose at half a yard, they're not, you know what I mean, as rapid or can change direction as quickly. So the fact that you still manage to maintain that, man, it's testament to your hard work, but obviously as well the club, like the physios and so on and so forth. you know what? I wanted to ask you, Nave, like taking it back a bit back to the times that you were on trial at different clubs, what the like what the environment is like when you're going for a trial. So like Norwich was one case in point, because you had like people that you knew there. It was a bit more of a friendly like environment and whatnot. You felt a bit more comfortable. Yeah. But like when you're going to trial at a place where you don't know anyone, or you're not very comfortable, like is it difficult? Like what are the lads there like? Is it people that are playing in your position? Are they like kind of like, oh, this guy's trying to come for my space in the team? Like what's that like?
Nah, the thing which helped me, I think, at the time there was like there was like three or four of us who came on trial at the same time. So we obviously you know that like when you're at football you've got like your group.
By default,
we were all just our group. Like we would just like all be together. And then once like we got to training and be with the boys, then they sort of like were like, oh, like obviously we're good players, like they knew I was at Arsenal. Then I can't remember where the other boys were from. I
think Arsenal stuff gives you clout when you go around.
But then some people can start like thinking like, oh, who's this guy that like, he's come from Arsenal? Do you think he's just gonna walk into the team? Like, do you know what
like,
I mean?
Yeah, like, I feel like it was 50-50. Like some were like, oh, like yeah, he's at Arsenal, blah blah blah. Like, you know, he can do this, he can do that. But some was like, he's come from Arsenal, he's coming here, like he's taking my spot. Like, I'm gonna show that I'm better than him. And in my head as well, at the time, I was kind of like, I'm coming from Arsenal. Like, I should be playing. Like, regardless.
Yeah.
So I think that obviously having that group of trialists all helped.
Once you got onto the
pitch, like obviously because I was there for 2 weeks, I was lucky. I was able to like build a relationship with the boys, become like friends with them, talk to them, and like just like it didn't really affect me much. But obviously, I feel like there was that thing in the back of my head that I was these lot think, oh, I'm from
So like talk us through that moment where you're in the under 23s for Southampton and you're breaking into the first team. Like, what was that sort of process like? Was Ralph Hasenhüttl coming to watch the training sessions, or was Radhi Jardy giving feedback saying, you know what, this boy, he's ready to go? How was it?
It was because obviously it was after lockdown, so like when we first went back, so obviously all the first team went back, like, and obviously how it was is like there's two pitches side by side, so like all the first team were training like on the left and we were on the right. And then it was like five of us who came back, and then we were all training by ourselves, like a group of five, and the first team were training there on the left. Then I think, I can't remember who got injured, but someone got injured the day before like the in-house game. So it's just like Southampton against Southampton. And then they were just like, oh, like we need you to come over, train, like playing the game tomorrow. So I was like, all right, like, didn't really have a choice, but obviously it's first team, I want to play and show myself. And then obviously went and played the game, played quite well, I felt like. That was the third time I trained first team since I came back from my injury. So I just went there, felt like I trained well, did well, and then went away, came back for the weekend, and then they were like, oh, like the manager was really happy with you. Like the assistant came up to me and was like, oh, the manager was really happy with you. Like you're going to be staying with us for like the foreseeable future unless anything changes. But you're doing well. Like the manager was happy with what you did. So then just kept training with the first team for a bit. Then we had a friendly against Bristol City, I think. That was like the last week before the season started back again. Then I played in that and I played well again. And then obviously had that week of training, and then it was like, there's going to be two of the 23s boys need to come in our tracksuits because we could, like, it's going to be between me and someone else who's going to get picked.
Okay.
Then I trained in the first team in the morning. Then as I was going down to get my stuff, they were like, have you got your tracksuit? I was like, yeah. They're like, oh, cool, you're coming. Like, you're coming, going to Norwich. And I didn't tell any of my friends. Like, I was like, I'm going to surprise everyone. Obviously, I told my dad, told my agent. And then people were asking me, like, are you on the bench? I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I was like, they took extra players. I don't know. Then obviously, when I found out I was actually on the bench, I then just told everyone. My snaps.
Of course. Got to be done.
Like, then I was like, I'm just happy I'm even here. Like, if I'm looking back to where I was in January, I still hadn't trained with the team fully in January. Played my first game in February, lockdown, and then now I'm on the bench with the first team. That's how I was looking at it. And then I didn't even expect to come on. 1-0, I was like, oh, it's tight. 2-0, I started to like rub my hands. this could be my chance. And when I got to 3-0, I was like, oh, please bring me on. Then got to like, what, the 80th minute, and I still hadn't come on. I was like, oh, don't think today's gonna be the day. And then they were just like, just put your shin pads on, like, be ready just in case. I just went down the touchline, started doing all my sprints, Then I just had to.
So no one told you to do that. You
Because you can make five subs
and you can catch the manager's eye.
Five subs. I was like, yeah, like if I'm gonna be the third sub, then I want it to be me. Then I just heard the manager just go, Nif, like, and called me over. And I was just like smiling, but trying to like take off. So like I must have lifted up the top, just did like a massive smile, and then like straight face back, like focus, got the game to do. Regardless of winning, I still want to try and help the team again. Then came on, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just couldn't stop smiling, like once I got on, got off the pitch.
Was you nervous? Like, did you feel like my butterflies or anything, like, raw, I'm about to...
There's no fans. Like, I felt like how I'd make my debut, I thought like there'd be fans like, cheering or booing or screaming who, like, when I'm coming on. Yeah. I didn't have any of that. I was just like, oh, like, I'm going to play my game, like, make my debut. Like, this is it. Like, I'm just happy. And, like, we're 3-0 up, so I didn't feel like I needed to come on and do anything extravagant. Like, just come on, do what I do. If I need to sprint, I'm going to show everyone I'm fast. If I need to do a skill, win a foul if I need to. Like, yeah, that's literally just how I went into the game.
Talk to us about Ralph Hasenhüttl. We spoke to Tyler Roberts, and he was like, Marcelo Bielsa has changed the way they live. Yeah. I get the feeling your manager is similar. How is he behind the scenes?
He's good. Like he helps a lot. Like, I remember one instance he spoke to me about just me doing something in a training session. He got a video of it. One of the analyst guys came and showed it to me, and then I went and did it, and it worked. So like, he's very he's a tactician. Like, he knows what he wants to do. And he's very clear with like his instructions. Like, you never really feel confused. You just know that like, if he wants this to be done, like the way we press, everyone knows how we press. Like, there's so much emphasis on how we press, and we all know the press. And, like, if you get out of the press, like, you've done well. But when we press in training, it's so intense. Like, we all know how to press the way the manager wants to press, and it just helps. Like, he's so switched on with that, and how we play, like short switches, everything is it's good. Like, he really knows what will help the team, what will help us win.
And how important are players like, you know, James Ward-Prowse, who I adore from a distance, Danny Ings banging in the goals left, right and centre. How important have those players been for you?
They've been good. Like, they've been really good. Like, when I first obviously got into the team after lockdown, because like, Ward-Prowse has come through the academy, like he knows what it's like, he knows all the steps.
Maximised everything.
So like, he was really helpful. He was just telling me like, if there's anything like you need, like just go to him, like be confident. He was a very good captain. He's a very good captain. Like, he just gives everyone that confidence.
Very unlucky not to make the England squad as well.
100%,
man. Tough, real man. Rags to riches story. Almost made it, but
But yeah, he was really, really helpful. Like just getting me just to become more confident and get out of my shell. And then Jack Stevens as well helped me a lot. The centre back, really helpful. Like, it always gave me confidence. Like, he'd be hard on me when I like make a mistake, but then when I do something good, like he'd tell me like really good, like everyone. But they're the two I'd say when I first got into the team who like helped me the most and like sort of like took me in and were like, God, like you're part of us now, like show yourself, like don't be nervous, you're here for a reason. Just go out and show it, like show what we see to everyone else.
And in training and stuff, was there or is there any players that surprised you in terms of just like the way that they are, for example, like people that you would fit, you wouldn't necessarily think are leadership figures or people that would be vocal, but actually are, or vice versa, you know?
Well, I think everyone's quite like, I feel like we've got a lot of leaders in our team, which helps the young players. Like there was a point that like, it was majority young players like in the squad or starting, like the Man United game, there were so many young players on the bench. So like, obviously they know like how to sort of take us in, speak to us all, like, whether they're English, like Europeans, South American, wherever they're from, African, they all knew how to like talk to us and like get us motivated, and that helped everyone when we made our debuts and made our chances to play.
Yeah, you said that someone you looked up to growing up, Henri Theo Walcott. So he's your idol. So playing with him, being in and around him, how has that experience been? Because you were watching him on TV. And all of a sudden now you're in the dressing room with him. So how was that experience?
It was crazy. Like, for me, it was crazy. Like, obviously, I was saying it to my parents. I was like, oh, I think Walcott's coming. And they, my dad was just like, you're here now. You're playing. Don't be starstruck. But like, you don't want to be starstruck. And then that takes you out of the contention for the team. So like, that really helped. That sort of helped me focus. And obviously, when he came in, obviously, you just know, like, he's at Arsenal. He's played for England. He's done a lot in the game. So just by him being there, I think it helped me as well. And then once I started playing, like, he would give me feedback on what I could do, what I should have done, what I did well. Like, he was really good. Like, he just spoke to me and just helped me. And then obviously now, like, I'm playing with him, I'm just happy I was able to assist him. Like, that.
Do you know what? I needed to ask you this question, yeah? I needed you to talk to us about the 3-1, right?
Yeah.
Because so you assisted him in that game. It was against Fulham, innit, at home.
Yeah.
And then you scored your first Premier League goal in that thing, in that same game. And I remember, like, seeing you celebrate. The first thing you did was look over at the linesman to see if it was offside.
I remember your interview after the game. I was like, "You're moving shy."
That was the first live interview I've done. Like, I was scared I'd stutter and I'd go on Twitter and then I'd say,
"How difficult is that?
You don't want to become a meme, innit?"
If I start or I say something mad, they're going to be like, they'll just make a caption on me, and I'll just have to bear it and laugh. But I don't want to be embarrassed like that. But it's weird. Like, you don't really prepare for it. Like, we have like a media person, Jonathan. He like sort of tells you what they're going to ask. But with that one, it was pretty straightforward. Like, they were just going to ask, "How does it feel to score? How does it feel to assist? How's it feel?" And even still, I was like, good. I didn't know what to say, but
because in the game, it's like you was feeling yourself, like the way that you assisted, obviously the back heel and that. I was thinking, okay, this guy, he's got a bit about him, you know what I mean? Like, so
I've tried that back heel so many times, and sometimes it'll hit my other foot, sometimes it'll just go anywhere, but I'm just happy it came off.
Came off
that game, but it was a good game anyway. I was happy, and in fact, I scored as well.
You wish there was fans in it to really.
No, I wish my parents were there. I would have just pointed to them, but. Because obviously they'd see me from young playing football, the highs of being at Arsenal, the lows of getting released, not being offered at Reading, not hearing anything from Norwich, and then signing at Southampton. Like, I would have just gone pointing to them, like, because they were the ones who helped.
Your dad must be proud. Like, I mean, we see millions of parents taking their kids up and down the land pursuing that footballing dream. You know, he must have spent, you know, thousands on petrol, going to Southampton, going to Norwich, going to all these places. So how has he been, like, seeing you break through into the first team and living your dream?
Yeah, I was even speaking to him about it today, just about the Fulham game, because he had to look after my grandma. So he didn't see the goal. Like, he just got an alert on his phone. Substitution, tell her on. 1 minute later, tell her scores. He was like, why did I miss this game? It's a game I didn't want to miss, and he missed it. And then, he's just been he's helped me so much, throughout everything, driving me there. My mum as well, even though my mum wasn't driving me to places, she would always come, always support me, always give me the right feedback, always help me. Even my sister, the little she knew about me, she'll just say the little comments, which I know what you're trying to say, but it might not sound right, but I know what you're trying to get into. So,
that's dope, man.
Nate, if you know what's mad, I don't think I've asked a footballer this. So you score your first goal, after the game, grab your phone. What is your phone saying? Is it blowing up? Have you got your Twitter notifications on? Insta?
It was weird. I turned off my notifications the night before because I was just getting distracted. Like, I was just, every time something would come up, I just turned it off. Then I forgot. Like, I turned it off, so I went on my phone. I saw nothing. Like, no one had snapped me, nothing on Twitter, nothing on Instagram. I was thinking, rah, they didn't watch the game. then I clicked on it. Then I must have seen 100 plus notifications on Instagram, DM requests. Went on Twitter, saw loads on Twitter, Snapchat. Everyone just tagging me, saying, "Well done."
And
asked my friend. I just put a funny video on, just because I was happy. I just put something silly, which didn't make sense, but obviously he knew. What it would mean. Didn't go on my phone. Just literally left it at that.
You didn't, did you take any time to read through all the comments and stuff? Or was it just too many for you to be able to sift through?
It was weird. I would read it, but then a lot of them were quite repetitive. Okay, I didn't want to be I've just read it and ignored it. So I'll try and reply to everyone's, and the day after, I might not have seen it, I'd still go and obviously reply and just be I didn't see this. And still obviously reply. I don't want people to think, he's got that one goal now, he's changed.
That's sick.
Just try to stay. But how would be if I scored for the 23s or if I scored for the 18s? I want to still keep that same,
energy,
towards everyone.
So now that you've broken through the door, everyone knows you, Nathan Teller, Southampton, what's next? How do you set those next you know, targets? Because I'm sure in the under-23s, playing your first team debut or making an appearance for Southampton, that was the goal.
Yeah.
So now, how do you keep that sort of thing going?
I just, for me, it's just more like just doing the basics for me. So it's like, what got me into that first team is like working hard, trying to impact games. And I just want to just continue to do that. Like, regardless of what I do on the ball, I want to be able to work hard, help my teammates. So like, if I'm not having the best game, my hard work could allow someone else to have a better game. So I just want to keep that. Like, I don't want to be like a individual player. Like, I want to be a very like, team player.
Mm.
So even if I don't get all the like, accolades or anything, like my yeah, team, if we win, like I'm part of the team, so we win together, we lose together. So like, I'd rather like help others as well. But obviously for myself, it's just like obviously do the right things, like inside football, out off the pitch, like just right lifestyle, right everything. And obviously I got the goals which I've set myself, like how many goals I score, assists, how many games I play.
I literally just
think if I can do the first things, like the hard work stuff first, then I think everything else will sort of fall into place.
When I look at players, I look at Cristiano Ronaldo as the benchmark.
Yeah.
At a young age, he was employing chefs, you know, masseuses, trying to get the most out of his career, trying to maximise it.
Yeah.
Are there things that you're doing behind the scenes to make sure you stay at the top for as long as possible?
No, not at the moment. No, okay. I just sort of go training, do my like pre-training stuff, do the gym sessions, go home. But obviously when I go home, I literally just go home and like I switch off. I don't try to do anything which will make me exert more energy. Like, I just try and chill because obviously training's tough. Like, we're going to go back in pre-season. I know it's going to be tough.
So
there's no point in me having a hard session and then going out and doing something which will take more energy. I'd rather just stay home and just chill. Like, that's a good form of recovery anyway. Like, just not doing anything.
Yeah, relaxing.
So I'll just do that. Like, that's helped me up to now, so I don't think I need to change it. But if there's anything else I can do, obviously look into it and start taking the right steps into going out and doing it.
100%. I wanted to ask as well, Nath, like, what's training like? Like, is James Ward-Prowse just slapping crossbars for fun, like, every training session? What's it like?
It's good. Like, training, I feel like training's always been good. Like, we always take something from the training. It's always hard. Like, we know it's going to be hard because, like, we know that if it's hard in training, it's going to be not as hard in the game. So we're like, we all buy into it. We all want to obviously work hard, train hard, do everything. But it's fun. Like, you can obviously have a laugh, you can have a joke in training, but obviously we all know, like, it's still serious. Like you just want to go out and obviously with your friends, like, you see them all in your family, so you're going to build a relationship with them, so you're going to obviously laugh with them, joke with them. But it's all good. Like, we all know how to, like, get under each other's skin.
So is the dressing room clown?
there's a few. The one who, like, always makes me laugh, like, without fail, Musa, Gianepa.
Rapid as well, man.
He's just always happy, like, he's always smiling.
I can imagine.
He's, like, always dancing, like, he literally, like, I've never not seen him happy. Like, I've had an argument with him once, and, like, even when I was arguing with him, I was laughing. But he was angry at me, but I was, like, laughing, because, like, I can't take you seriously, bro. And obviously, I still respect him.
Does he have the speaker when in the dressing room? Who's banging the tunes in the dressing room?
He bangs them in the gym because, like, we do gym in two groups.
Okay.
So he plays it in the gym. But in the changing room before games, I feel like someone just has a phone, like, just any, I don't know who it is, maybe, like, one of the staff.
Okay.
That's the secret. He just puts his phone there and just, like, has a playlist and you don't really change room it.
Okay.
He's got the best dress sense in the camp.
He's a drippiest.
I've seen a few of your Insta clips. I'm looking sharp, man.
The best dressed, I've got to pick between three.
I have a feeling Che Adams.
He's good. I wouldn't say he's the best, but he dresses well. Like, he's training. He doesn't try. I say Michael Bafemi.
Okay.
Carl Walker Peters.
Okay. He looks like that guy still.
And Nathan Redmond.
Okay.
Those three will dress really well.
Okay. That's interesting still.
Who would you have thought it would be?
Not Nathan Redmond. I don't know why. But Carl Walker Peters, definitely. I just got a feeling. And
Bertrand
in it
as well, I thought.
Bertrand.
This one was just very comfy. Like, you just see him in a tracksuit.
Okay. Easy.
It'll be a nice tracksuit. You might not know what it is, but it's nice. Like, it'll look good on him.
So another thing I wanted to discuss was your international future. Obviously of Nigerian descent, you also qualify for England as well. Where's your head at now with that?
I've not thought about it, you know. Like, I've not, obviously, like, people say that, like, oh, like, my friends ask me, like, who do you want to play for? I just don't know. Like, I just want to just play Southampton.
Yeah.
See how far that takes me. And if England call me, if Nigeria call me, it will be something I have to think about in the future. But, like, now I just literally just want to focus on Southampton and, like, beat that. And then whatever comes from that will come from it. But I'm literally just taking that step by step.
Whatever happens. Do you know what we didn't ask? We haven't asked you a bit. Obviously, we've spoken about your game and on the field, but off the field, before we were talking, and you were saying, like, sometimes when you're not playing, you just want to switch off completely and whatnot. So, like, what are your interests away from football? When you're not playing football, you're not watching games, you're not studying and whatnot. Like, what do you do in your spare time?
I'll play my PS5, just play with my boys, or I'll just be on FaceTime, like, just with my boys as well.
Okay.
Like,
cracking jokes, yeah.
But I tried reading for a bit.
It's not for you.
The words, it's not assimilating, it's not sticking. You know,
I've read Kobe Bryant's book, Mamba Mentality. That's the last book I've read, and that helped me a lot. I actually took stuff from it, but because there's pictures as well, like, it's just
easy to digest.
Nah, I'll play my PS5, I'll just be talking to my boys. Like, nothing. I'll say I'm quite boring outside of football, to be honest.
Sometimes it's a good thing, man. You stay out of trouble. You get me?
Yeah.
You know, stay in your corner. Of course, the things even will start.
That's another distraction, bro.
You have to navigate that. Yeah, you get me?
Yeah, there's a few stories, bro.
That's off air still. That's off air.
We're chatting about that answer. But no, man, what's next, man? What's next for you? Because obviously, pre-season is going to start soon. We want you to have a big season. What's next for Nathan Teller?
Just hit the ground running, like, pick up where I left off. Like, I felt like I ended the season well. Obviously didn't finish in the position we'd like to in the team, but like, I was starting to play games, I was starting to come on, I was starting more. And I sort of want that same, like, impact. I want to be starting games, I want to be coming on in games, like, more often than not. So just like that, I want to score more, assist more. Yeah, like, they're the main things, which I'll say
100.
That's what I want to do. But mainly just hit the ground running and come back fitter than I left. And yeah, just go from there.
Quick fire. Yeah, like, so we obviously spoke about distractions and stuff, and we had a podcast with Michael Richards, and he was saying that when he was getting big, obviously we have friends, and they'll obviously tell you what you want to hear, kind of thing, because he's that star of the group. He's buying the tables, popping the bottles and stuff. So at a young age, how do you go about, like, choosing your friendship circle, making sure it's tight and there's not people that are going to sort of, like, lead you astray?
Yeah, I feel like I've been quite lucky, like, all my friends I've been friends with since I was like 5, 6. So like, we've all grown up together, all gone to the same school together. So like, they knew me before I played football, when I was at Arsenal, all those trials, Southampton. Like, they've seen me when I was like low. They've seen me now, like, I'm in a better position. And they literally look at me the same, I look at them the same. They don't expect nothing. Like, I might do something for them, but they won't be like, oh, Premier League footballer, played in the Prem, like, you should be doing this, you should be, like, buying us tables. Like, they're just like, if you don't want to go out, like, we're not going to force you to go out. Like, if you want to just go Nando's, I could pay for my own meal. Like, they don't care. Like, and that's what I think helped. Like, it's helped me a lot. Like, I've literally not, like, no, as much as I'm like, I feel like I'm open, like, I'll talk to new people, it's very tough to get into our circle. Like, I might like you, but if they, like, they're not vibing.
He looks serious, man. He looks like he's the one to say, I'm not. That's the policeman.
If he likes you, then you'll be fine.
You can see him analysing that thing.
You remember I walk into the studio. But honestly, I love your journey, you know, leaving Arsenal. People like Josh De Silva, who's just been promoted to the Premier League, left Arsenal, went to Brentford, and now is a Premier League player, man. So I think we're just going to round up with a quick fire, you know, question each, and then we'll just let you go. So, Bud, do you want to kick it off?
My question is the question I always have to ask, right? Two-part question.
Okay.
Part A, you're going out to a function with your boys or whatever, you're stepping out. What kicks are you wearing? if you're going out to a function or an event. Part B, what is the most played song on your playlist right now?
If I go to a function, I'll probably just wear Dunks. They're
okay. Like, any particular colorway?
Nah, that to me, I just like, if it goes with my outfit, I'll just
okay,
wear it,
calm.
Just
calm.
Dunks. Like, I don't really like designer trainers like that. I'd rather spend that money and buy like two pairs of Dunks.
I hear that.
And then the second question, what's my most played song? What was I banging in the car?
I don't even know. Maybe Ski, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a few from that album I've been banging still. Like,
okay.
Solid, Came and Saw. Mm. But that's like probably at the moment like my go-to album.
Yeah. I hear that. Good choice, man.
Best player that you've played against in the Premier League this season.
That's tough.
Or the player that you learned the most from.
I like that spin.
So you watch them and you just think, that's it. That's the level.
It was who I was up against. I'll say, I'm going to say like Kyle Walker. Because obviously
he's rapid.
I was up as a striker.
Mm. Obviously, I never really like listen to what the defenders say, but he was literally communicating to the whole back four, like telling them get up. Like literally, like making sure they're all in line. Like it was just like, and that made me as an attacker want to get back into position quicker. But like him, he was just like always like telling them what to do, when to step up, and like they're all leaders in that back four.
Mm.
So he was like step up, they'd all step up. Like they all knew, but he was literally just so vocal about it. And that made like there was times I was in an offside position, I was tired, I'd have to like sprint back into onside position. Makes it tough for me because then when they play in behind, they're already higher.
They're going
forwards and back, so they're always at an advantage.
Mm.
But I'll say him.
Wow.
So what's the toughest part of being a professional footballer?
Toughest part? Probably like just like the sacrifices, I think. Mm. Like there's times where like my friends will, obviously it's, like, as it's been locked down, so we've not really been able to do it, but like before I was playing with the first team, there'll be times when they'll be like, oh, like, let's go out, like, we're going to a club, and I'll be like, I can't, like, I've got training tomorrow. And like, even in my head, I might be thinking, oh, if I go for like an hour, I know, an hour turns into two turns into four, I'm looking at my phone, it's 3 a.m. and I'm training at 9.
Mm.
But no, I would say that, like, I feel like they also helped me as well. Like, they just really tell me, like, you don't need to go to this. Like, it's not. And even if they know it's going to be good, like, they'll be like, yeah, but you're playing against like Man City. Like, you've played against Man City this season. Like, why do you need to go to a party where there's just going to be, like, in a hot room, people going to be crowded next to each other, you can't tread on anyone's toes. Like, you don't need to go to that. Can just go back to my warm bed
and just chill in it.
Yeah, and chill. So yeah, I'll say it's that.
Boy, hey, this has been a good chat, man.
It's been sick, man.
Been a good chat, man. Honestly, like we said, man, we appreciate the fact that you made the journey to come down and have the chat with us, man. It's been good to chop it up with you. We've obviously spoken about you on the pitch, off the pitch, your ambitions for the forthcoming season. And I know everyone that's tuning into this is gonna enjoy it, but they're gonna be looking out for you, man, next season. We know we got big things coming and we know that you're gonna do well, man. So you got our support, you know, we're fans of yours, man. We're behind you 100%. We wanna see you tearing it up in the Premier League this season, man.
No, as we said, man, love for coming on.
Mm.
When we reached out to you, when we called you,
yeah,
it was very simple to do, very, you know, easy. We phone a lot of people and, you know, we're cut off with you. It's like, it's too easy kind of thing. So that just shows the type of person you are, man. So respect to you, bro.
Yeah, I big up, love, brother.
100%, man. So we're going to leave it there. We're going to call it a day. Thank you very much for listening and up until this point and watching this on YouTube. If you're not yet following us on Twitter, it's at @podcast_TBG and on Instagram at @pod_TBG. Sure, I love it. Obviously, you can listen to all of our episodes on Spotify. Just search The Beautiful Game Podcast. And also on YouTube, if you haven't yet, I don't know what you're playing at. hit that subscribe button. You've got a few seconds to do it now. I'm going to give you a few seconds. Just look down. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Sign up to all notifications so whenever we drop a new video, you're always the first to find out about it. And we're going to leave it there. We're going to catch you on the next episode. Until then, over and out.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.